Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We getting beat.
We getting
beat. NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mutley and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our chance to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, Mike. Doing great. Hey, how are you guys today?
Always a joy to talk to you. And I guess we should start the conversation with the Khalil Mack news. I laughed aloud as I saw that the fine folks at the Sloan Conference at MIT had awarded the Oakland Raiders, excuse me, the best transaction award because of the fact that they managed to get themselves get rid of a future Hall of Famer, and I get it. I mean, they love the teardowns and they love draft picks, but you know, I really believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that that preserved jobs, that the Bears making that trade changed their team, and various people in various positions had to be nervous that they were going to get launched, and instead, everybody has a job. The Bears are a contender. They win the division, and they're feeling good about themselves.
Well, and Vic Fangio is a head coach now for the first time in his life because of it, too.
Right.
Here's the thing. The folks who dabble in analytics have constantly been fighting against the perspective that they elevate quantitative over qualitative, that they try to take things that are not susceptible to punching into a calculator and making broad proclamations about how the world works. And just as the entire industry is beginning to gain some better traction as people understand what it does and what it doesn't do, they pull crap like this that make people say these are a bunch of eggheads that don't know how football works. You don't draft a Hall of Famer to trade him. I don't care what you get for him. Now, if you're talking about a Herschel Walker trade, that's one thing. But ultimately what happened here is the Raiders miscalculated in their negotiations with Khalil Mack, and they thought they could get him to play out the fifth year of his rookie contract before they had to sign him to a new deal. Once it was clear that wasn't going to work, they decided to move on. They got exasperated and they moved on. This wasn't some calculated plan by the Raiders to take one of their assets and flip it into value down the road. This was making chicken salad out of something far fouler than what we usually say the usual ingredient is. So that's what it was. And to give them a plaque for it, I think, is ludicrous.
It is. It's ridiculous. Mike, look at Tyreek Hill's investigation. Some details were disturbing in that report. Where does that stand, and what might he be facing?
Well, he's not been accused of anything yet. It's just an investigation. He could be accused of something. He could ultimately be in criminal jeopardy, and he could ultimately be in jeopardy with the court of Roger Goodell. And given his history, he had the 2014 incident, and he eventually pleaded guilty to assaulting his then-pregnant girlfriend. That history becomes an aggravating factor if discipline is ever imposed against him under the personal conduct policy, even though he was never suspended by the NFL for that incident because it predated him being drafted by the Chiefs in 2016. It still could come back to haunt him as an aggregating factor. The fact that the victim, if there was a victim, if there was a crime, if there was something that violated the personal conduct policy, is a child, is an aggravating factor. I really do think that if this sticks, and it is a huge if, all caps, bold, italics, underlined, everything, 72 size font, right, everything. Mm-hmm. If the Chiefs have to part ways with him, and I think the NFL needs to banish him under the personal conduct policy. And banishment means gone for at least a year, because what will happen is John Dorsey or somebody else will pounce on him. if he's available, because everybody gets a second chance. Everybody's entitled to a second chance. And the one point I want to make about this that I think gets lost on a lot of folks, yes, we root for guys to get second chances, but in a closed shop like the NFL where there's only 53 spots per roster, every time you give a guy a second chance, you're taking away the first chance of somebody who never did anything wrong, because he gets bounced off the roster for the guy that you're giving the second chance to.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I wonder what the hell they're thinking in Kansas City having guys like that on the roster.
They're thinking we want to win a Super Bowl. Yep. I mean, yep. That's the thing. Exactly. How much of your soul are you willing to sell to win a Super Bowl?
Any part of it, apparently. And this is what you get if they end up having lost two players that were a huge part of it, if that's what ends up happening. And, you know, frankly, I don't know that there's any way back for this kid. You know, I don't know what I would learn that doesn't disgust me about this situation.
How would Chicago fans react? Because you've got the Matt Nagy connection to Kansas City. He was talking about, you could say, floating a trial balloon about Kareem Hunt before the Browns signed him. What if Tyreek Hill spends a year out, he's paid his debt to society. I'm just being devil's advocate here, although the devil's doing fine on his own. He's paid his debt to society. He's served his time. He's square now with the NFL. Mike Vick came back from dogfighting. You're telling me after a year out, Chicago fans would say, no, we don't want a guy who's a transcendent generational talent.
If he sits out a year, it's because they found him guilty of abusing a child. And if that's the case, then that 72 font you just used for the other headline, that would be a big fat no.
I hope so. Look, I hope so. I was shocked that Michael Vick got back in, but the argument was, oh, it's just dogs, and oh, he's served his time, and you know, that's fine. But again, there's another quarterback out there whose career got short-circuited because they found a roster spot for Michael Vick, and that guy never did anything. And that's the one point that I keep hammering here.
True.
Somebody's going to get screwed out of a chance to develop and grow and possibly become a great player, a great member of the community who has never done anything wrong and will never do anything wrong because of the obsession with chasing what you can get from a guy who is a bad person but a great football player.
Yeah, not in my subdivision. Is that
exactly?
I don't live in a subdivision, but I believe that's the term that you'd use. Mike, let's move on. Blake Bortles is signed now as the backup for the Rams. I can understand it from his standpoint. You get to go and have a quarterback whisperer potentially grow you as a player, and then meanwhile, I get it from their standpoint. There's a guy that's actually been in the playoffs and. If he has to come in and hand off the ball, he's been known to do that.
Well, now he's qualified to go coach Texas Tech for a few years, get fired, and become an NFL head coach, right?
Well played.
So, look, I, Chris Sims and I talked about this on PFT Live today because he has had Blake Bortles ranked among, what, number 70 of all quarterbacks? And we had fun with that with Dave Caldwell, the Jaguars GM, last month. He said, I'm just impressed you had the time to break down film on the other 69. But, you know, number 70 puts you even out of the number two rung on every team and into third string territory. And Chris isn't a believer in this. And look, this would be a great chance for Sean McVay to show he can turn the guy around. Chris's thought's always been that Blake Bortles was the big kid, the big athletic kid that they made into a quarterback, even though he wasn't put on earth to throw a football. And that you are limited in what you can ever do with a guy like that.
That sounds a little like Chris Sims.
Yeah, I never said that. You did.
Okay. Wow.
Mike, speaking of quarterbacks down in Miami, there was a report from a national reporter that Colin Kaepernick was interested in the Dolphins job. They end up signing Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic goes to Miami. Any truth to that you've heard about Kaepernick's interest, and what'd you think about Fitzpatrick?
Oh, I'm sure he'd be interested in any starting job he could get. Look, the fact that the Dolphins didn't even show an ounce of interest in Kaepernick reinforces my reaction and the information I gathered in the aftermath of the settlement of his collusion grievance. Because remember, he's still allowed to play for an NFL team. And in theory, he could still have another collusion grievance. He could say he's being retaliated against now because he filed that collusion grievance, because he got money from the league. The fact that they're still turning away from him and not giving him an opportunity, that reinforces my belief he really didn't get all that much. I know there are people who think he got $60 million, $80 million, $100 million. I don't think he got all that much. And I don't think the NFL is worried about another collusion grievance. And I think they weren't worried ultimately about what was going to happen. It was going to cost them a lot of money to defend the case as it went forward. And there was some risk of losing. But I think they're confident, especially moving forward, that there's nothing that he's going to be able to do that would show collusion. And the fact that opportunity was there and they didn't even give him the time of day. That tells me that it really is over for Colin Kaepernick. And for Ryan Fitzpatrick, look, 2 years, $11 million, that's a great deal for the Dolphins. The guy played well at times last year, and they need a placeholder. You can't go into the draft with no quarterback and the 13th overall pick. You may as well have a giant sign on your table at the draft in Nashville saying we are taking a quarterback at number 13. At least now it's not as obvious.
Who won free agency? Is there a declared winner? Do you feel one team improved themselves more than anyone else?
No, you know, here's the thing. Everybody who wins free agency ultimately loses when the time comes to win football games. I mean, who has ever used free agency as the thing that put them over the top? The thing with the Cleveland Browns, though, getting Odell Beckham Jr., that was a stunner, even though we kind of thought that something was going to happen with OBJ. For me, and if you're a Steelers, Ravens, or Bengals fan, you hope this isn't the case. It feels like when Reggie White chose the Packers in free agency that it legitimized Green Bay after 20 years of just being lost in the wilderness. And yes, they had Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren, and they were laying the foundation for something. But having Reggie White go there pushed it to a higher level and laid the foundation for what we've seen in the 25 years since then. I feel like that's what this Odell Beckham Jr. thing can be for Cleveland. If, number one, they can manage him. If, number two, he doesn't start banging on the door and saying, pay me more money. And if, number three, they ultimately can live up to the very high expectations they now have. Because you get a tough schedule out of the gates. You start off 1-3. People start fighting, arguing. There's a sense that the failure is going to be even worse if it comes at a time when you're expecting them to be a lot better. That's going to make for an interesting chemistry experiment when you have all those personalities in a locker room if they're walking off the field and they lose their fourth out of five games to start the season. But I think that just from excitement, relevance, anticipation standpoint, what the Browns did makes me much more excited about the season than I was.
Mike, down in Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott is now eligible for a new contract after his third NFL season. I know how you advocate the holdout as getting your way for a new contract, and you look around the league and it certainly is effective as a tool to get a new contract. Do you think that he will hold out at training camp or use that to his advantage?
Well, and here's the one point that I want to make, because the old school get off my lawn football types will say, you signed a contract, you signed a contract, you signed a contract. First of all, it's a contract of adhesion, as the lawyers call it, meaning it's not like you can really negotiate the amounts in this deal. It's based on where you're drafted. You don't get to exert any type of pressure to get more money on the way in. Secondly, there are two contracts that are relevant to the relationship: your contract with your team and the broader contract between all players and all teams, which is the collective bargaining agreement. And the player has rights under that agreement to, quote unquote, violate his own contract. You can hold out. You can apply pressure. You can do things aimed at getting yourself a new deal when you believe you deserve it. And if I'm Ezekiel Elliott, my concern is they're going to chew me up and spit me out like they did with DeMarco Murray. His reward for setting the single-season franchise record with 1,845 rushing yards in 2014 was to not be offered a contract and have to go to free agency. So that's what I think teams are inclined to do. They'll get the most out of you as a running back in the first 4 or 5 years of your career. Maybe they'll franchise tag him once. Then it's, oh, we're going to let you hit the open market because we think you're broken down now. That's why he needs to take a stand while he's only got 3 years of wear and tear on his tires.
Mike, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
Good
stuff.
That
is Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and, of course, NBC Sports. You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.